Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us, and if you want, you can join in the conversation this evening by giving us a telephone call here tonight. The telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Just pray, Father, that you would bless, guide the conversation this evening. Help us to be an encouragement and a help and a blessing to the people that are listening, and pray that we could point people to Christ through the things we talk about. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a gorgeous night out tonight. It is kind of nice driving up, and the moon is a beautiful, thin crescent moon, and it's off, right now, sort of in the southwest, and there's a planet, I'm not sure whether it's Jupiter or Saturn, I think it's Jupiter, that's sitting just to the right of it. If you're outside, even with city lights, you can get a good view of it if you look up at the moon and hold your arm at about up and your fist at arm's length, and probably about the width of your fist, from the little finger to the middle finger, or the index finger across, and that'll give you about the distance over to where that bright spot is that's either Jupiter or Saturn. Really a nice sight. It's really pleasant, and it's just one of those things, you look at the beauty of creation, and it never ceases to amaze me and always reminds me of Psalm 19, where the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. And certainly glorious. I was talking with somebody not too long ago about how beautiful things are in this world to look at. And yet when we consider it, this world is tainted with the curse ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, and the whole of creation is tainted with sin. And so as beautiful as things are today, if you think back the original state of things when God created the heavens and the earth, and prior to the flood, in Genesis, the Genesis flood with Noah and the ark, the world is a beautiful place still. What must it have been like prior to sin entering in and spoiling it? Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a Bible question or a question about current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Marge calling in tonight. Marge, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
I've heard you many times, and I happen to know someone that has the antique store around the corner here.
Oh, okay.
It's a friend of yours. So I'm almost a little afraid for my life to mention the community, because a Catholic priest, there's one Roman Catholic church here that has computerized bells that go from 8 o'clock in the morning every 15 minutes, and I think that adds up to till 9 o'clock p.m. I'm not a mathematic.
Mm-hmm. And what do they do?
It's given me a heart attack in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm on medication.
Yeah,
I'm retired.
Yeah, you said that they are computerized, and I didn't catch what they were doing.
It's computerized, and it's also like the Big Ben clock in
London. Oh, it's their chimes or their bell.
Like, and it's ringing, also like a different chimes. Bell for the masses, mm-hmm. and it's a huge organization there. It's more like a a casino. Actually, they have got lights and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. They have to put all kinds of cardboard and the neighbors also have to do this, you know, so the lights are not shining in because you don't want to go in your living room. You know, I mean, it's just not the way it was when I bought the house. It was, mm-hmm. the house was here first.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel ill and upset, mm-hmm. and I know that in the Lord's Prayer it says, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a Catholic.
Right.
I was born one, but I am a born-again mm-hmm. Christian now.
Okay.
And I know the Bible, and I would like to talk to this priest, but he is rude and extremely arrogant and
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Your pastor at your church,
mm-hmm.
would it be possible for you and your pastor to go and see him so that you didn't have to go alone?
Because of he also has had run-ins with the Catholics, mm-hmm. and he said for me to pray.
Well, and praying is good, obviously, but at the same time, sometimes we have to put feet to our prayers and actually do something. Let me just give you a for instance. Pastor Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, they're in a residential community on, I believe it's called Quail Street, in an area called Birdtown, and they have a building. It used to be a church, not Catholic. I think it was, maybe it's some type of a Catholic church. And a group is trying to put a bar in there in a residential neighborhood next to their church and across from a grade school. And they're praying about it, but they actually started a petition drive in their neighborhood. And last time I talked to him last Friday, they had over half of the residents of that neighborhood had signed the petition, you know, to keep this bar from building this bar and restaurant right here in this commercial street where all these children play and everything, and they're across from a school and next to a church and all that. And so what I'm getting at is praying is good, but sometimes we have to actually, you know,
faith
do something.
Faith without works is dead.
Yeah, exactly. Faith without works is dead. And, you know, if you're having the problems and your neighbors are having the problems, you know, fortunately, we still have the freedoms that we can get involved, you know, in our local communities with others like mine.
I called the police.
Yeah.
They just about killed me. You called the police on our pastor. The bells are beautiful. I said, mm-hmm. Well, they're not bells. They're computerized.
And they're loud.
Big
yeah.
Big Ben clock.
Well,
and
you could ask them, what would they 8 think?
8 o'clock in the morning, I'm mm-hmm. jumping, and I don't want another heart attack. I really don't.
And, it's...
And the police said there is no... And you know which area I'm talking about, because your friend has that store. You know the city.
Mm-hmm.
It has no decimal meter to read the noise level.
Now, that might be something to suggest to your pastor. He may not want to go back and deal with the priest again. But maybe through that, through your pastor, they can, get with the town council and try to establish a decimal level, especially
like
for certain times of the day.
This pastor is just...
Well,
the difference in the Bible, and they don't study our Bible, it's hard to relate.
Yeah. Are there other people in your community that you talk to that might be able to get involved?
You know what the community is.
Yeah, I know. Okay. And I just know
that
there's...
all of City Hall belongs to the church.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing, but I was just trying to think of some things that could be done.
One neighbor is deaf. And they're a cute little couple, and they can, you know, but they don't hear the noise.
Right.
I don't call them bells. I call them noise.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the people are members, mm-hmm. and they're afraid of him because he has this arrogant intimidation, and his name is Estek.
Well, let me tell you this. Why don't we put it out, and maybe somebody else has an idea of what can be done, because obviously by yourself, you've tried what you could, and praying certainly is something that needs to be done. But like I said, sometimes we have to do something a little bit more, to put feet to our prayers. And unfortunately, if your pastor is not willing to, do much right now, maybe God will raise up somebody that can help you, or somebody in the community that can be in, in a sense that would also feel like-minded with you, because, it's a lot easier doing something like this with two or three gathered together. Mm-hmm. And I know all the standard lines, of course, you and God, that's a majority and all, and that's true, but it's just like anything in this world. It's a lot easier sometimes when we have some help. The Bible talks about a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so maybe what we should pray and encourage our listeners to pray is that God would raise up somebody else in your area that's like-minded and who might have the strength and the health and the things that necessary that they might be able to do a little bit more than what you're capable of doing.
And the councilman that's mm-hmm. here said, I could never ask the priest something like that. Are you kidding? Ask him to turn the bells down? I says, they're going every 15 minutes mm-hmm. from 8 a.m.
Well,
until
unfortunately,
9 o'clock p.m. I says, I'm going nuts.
It's, they'll get into the freedom of religion.
But it's not noise. I mean, religion is not noise.
And they'll use that, but... we have freedom of religion, but we should understand, too, that
neighbor.
We live with people and we need to get along with people as much as we can.
What happened to love thy neighbor and thou shalt not kill? I was in the intensive care unit over this. He didn't care. You know what he said to me? He said, God loves those that suffer. It is good for you to suffer.
Well...
That was my, I could have.
Somebody might say, I punch him in the nose and then you can suffer and then God will love you too. So, but I mean, it's, unfortunately, there's not much I can do. I don't live in the community but I can certainly pray for you. And I know you've been praying.
I mean, if you would just go in the parking lot at 8 o'clock mm-hmm. in the morning there.
Yeah.
You would, I have, what I did was I ordered industrial earplugs.
Mm-hmm. Well,
can you imagine?
Yeah. What's that?
Can you imagine having to order industrial earplugs?
Oh, yeah, just to be able to sleep in your own house. We're going to have to put that out and let people pray with that. And hopefully God will raise up somebody of like mind in your area mm-hmm. that will come alongside you with this.
That would be wonderful.
That can help and assist in that. And I think we're going to have to leave it right there because other than that, there's really not much I'm in a position to do. But I appreciate your call tonight and certainly encourage our listeners.
Well, like you had begun on the air saying that our country and the way the America is such a change. This would not be happening.
Well, 10, and you wish that people would be more considerate. There's no reason, especially if it's computerized, that they can't turn the volume down early in the morning.
But we'll
have to let it go at that because, unfortunately, that's about all we can do about it. But I appreciate the call and encourage our people to pray about that and to pray that God would raise up somebody that can help you out there. And it's because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take somebody in the community that's willing to stand up. Bullies get away with things when nobody takes a stand or people are afraid to stand against them. And sometimes you're not able to. And that's where God needs to raise somebody up to help you. So I appreciate that, Marge. And we'll have to leave it at there. And I want to thank you for calling. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is our phone number here tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'll go ahead and take your call here this evening. That's 888-677-9673. And, it's hard when you get something like this because freedom of speech, freedom of religion, our First Amendment freedoms have to be balanced. I have freedom to do certain things, but the moment that it starts infringing on our our neighbors and causing problems there. You know, as a believer, you should want to try to reach your neighbors with the gospel and not antagonize them. And certainly in this church, of course, the Catholic Church, obviously their doctrine is off. But if they really are sincere in their desire to minister to their community, you would think that they have a little bit greater concern for the people in their community and their well-being. Even the telemarketers aren't allowed to call before a certain time and in the morning and have to stop calling after a certain time in the evening. But again, encourage our listeners to pray for Marge in her situation there. Like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We can give you a call here tonight, and we can get you on the air with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you here tonight. Wanted to share something, and this almost comes to mind thinking about our last caller's question there and her situation, where you know, you got people who represent themselves as Christ servants. But let me read here, 2 Timothy. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing here. Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy, and he's I think we'll have to probably read this. We've got 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Now, the sentence does not end there, but let me pause for just a moment. Here, verse 2 Timothy 3 and verses 2 through 4 have a list of all kinds of traits, starting with lovers of their own selves. Part of that is selfishness and conceit, going through covetous and boasters, all the way down to high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Here's a whole list of sinful attitudes, fleshly attitudes, worldly attitudes, attitudes that are opposite of God and the godly mind and the mind of Christ Jesus that ought to dwell in us. And then, having said all that, talking about these people, and these are people that are going to come, and we're in the last days when these perilous times would come. These people are here, and he says further about these people in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And this is important because it's, I think it was Jesus in Luke chapter 12, I think it is, where he said to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And let me turn back there. I think here in Luke chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, "In the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And hypocrisy, that's the key with this group that Paul is warning about in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is the type of people that when Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, "You're whited sepulchers," a sepulcher being a tomb. Whited mean they're painted white to make them look nice. He said, "You're whited sepulchers, and they look good on the outside, but," he said, "inside you're full of dead men's bones." And this is the characteristic of these people Paul's warning about in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he's talking about these people that are essentially full of dead men's bones. They're full of covetousness and boasting and unthankfulness and truce breakers and false accusers and despisers of those that are good and traitors and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's not everything in that list. And he said, but they have a form of godliness. And see, that's the key with hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is putting on this false front, having a form of godliness, but in reality, they're denying the power thereof. And the power thereof is the power of God. They're denying it because they don't know God. They have an outward form of godliness. And I was talking with a friend of mine earlier today at church, and he converted from Islam to, he became a born-again Christian. And we were talking about how there are false forms of Christianity out there that when people who are Muslims, people who are Hindus, people who are Buddhists, people who are Jewish, people who are, you can just about fill in the blank, they look at Christianity, and unfortunately, for most non-Christian groups out there, when they think of Christianity, they don't think of Baptists. They don't think of even Methodists. They think of the Roman Catholic Church. And so Muslims are predisposed because of the Crusades. That's what they think is all about Christianity. When the Roman Catholic Church had the Crusades trying to wipe out the Muslims and take back the Holy Land, and there were a number of atrocities that were committed during that time because the Crusaders were promised so many days or whatever out of purgatory if they took place in the Crusades, and a lot of atrocities were committed supposedly in the name of Christ, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And so a lot of Muslims, they think of Christianity and they think of the Crusades and they think of the atrocities that were committed supposedly in the name of Christ by these people. And same thing with the Jews. When the Jews were cast out of Spain in the 1600s, around about the time that Columbus in 1400s, remember Columbus sailed in 1492, I think it was, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, however that rhyme goes, but there was an edict signed where the Roman Catholic Church pressured the rulers of Spain, the same King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, to pass a law saying no Jews were allowed to live in Spain. And so we see that happening. So a lot of Jewish people who have suffered persecution at the hands of Roman Catholics, they view Christianity solely in light of Roman Catholicism. And so somebody like myself comes along who tries to preach the Bible and present the biblical view that, by the way, has been around since the first century. The Roman Catholic Church really didn't start until the fourth century. But when you look at that, Muslims and Jews and Hindus and different groups, they look at somebody like me and they see Roman Catholicism. And I've pointed out to more than one person, hey, guess what? My Baptist forefathers were persecuted, hounded and killed and hunted down and imprisoned just as much as the Jews were, just as much as the Muslims were, just as much as the Hindus were. We were executed too. And it's unfortunate, though, that we don't get the opportunity to let our voice be heard oftentimes, because when we try to share the gospel with people, they see a form of godliness which actually denies the power thereof. You say, well, wait a minute, how can that deny the power thereof? Well, it's very simple. When Christ saved me, he saved me from all my sin, and he promised me eternal life when I believed on him. I put my faith in him as my Savior, and I was given eternal life and complete forgiveness of sins. I wasn't given the potential for eternal life. I wasn't forgiven of merely my original sin. And so I have, because of the Word of God, I have the promise of eternal security. And yet the Roman Catholic Church calls that the sin of presumption, because you're not supposed to know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. You have to keep giving. You have to keep doing. I had the Jehovah's Witnesses knock at my door yesterday. And, you know, people say, boy, look at the zeal that they have. They might be wrong, but they sure are zealous. Why can't we have the zeal that the Jehovah's Witnesses have? And I said, well, it's very simple. The Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on my door, and I know this from conversation with numerous ones in England, in the Samoan Islands, and here in the States. From numerous conversations with Jehovah's Witnesses, they didn't knock on my door in order to rescue me from something. They didn't knock on my door in order to keep me from some dire fate. They knocked on my door hoping that that door and that they knocked on, that piece of literature that they wanted to pass out, that Bible study they were wanting to get scheduled, would be enough to help them make it into paradise. See, they're there for themselves, not because they know that they're saved or know that they're on their way to paradise. They're hoping. And so they're working to get there. And that's one of the hallmarks of false religion. They don't know for sure. These things were written, the Bible says, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And I know that I have eternal life based on the Word of God. And so I've told Jehovah's Witnesses before and others, you know, when I try to tell you about what I believe and what the Bible says and share the gospel with you, I'm not doing it to get myself into heaven. I already know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that I have a home waiting in heaven for me. I know that my eternal destination is secure. I put my faith in Christ as my Savior many years ago. I know where I'm going. But I share the gospel with people in hopes that they too can have what I already have. It's not so that I can get something. It's not so that I can hold on to something. I serve God not because I have to, because I want to. I tell people about Jesus because I want them to have the same knowledge and assurance that I have. Stay tuned for the second half.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is PastorAl@MapleKnoll.us. You can also visit our website at LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. That's LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. We're brought to you tonight, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. And more information at that again at the end of the program. But also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. And you can find East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And East Coast Pizza, in addition to pizza, has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, salads, and a whole lot more. And I've mentioned the pizza. I've had the pizza. It's good pizza, and it's some of the best around, I think. And I like pizza. But I had a calzone there the other day. I hadn't had one of their calzones, and I was kind of laughing at the owner, Gus, because he makes these calzones all the time. He said it's been a long time since he ate one himself, and we were sharing this calzone that he just made, and he said, "Wow, this is really good." He had forgotten how good it was, but it was. I have to second that. It was excellent. So I hadn't had a calzone before, I don't think. I had stromboli, I think, one time, a long time ago, but he made a great calzone. So if you had something a little bit different than pizza, why don't you check out East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. You can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, or maybe you already have a restaurant of some sort and you'd like to add the line of pizza and calzones and strombolis and things like that to your restaurant, why don't you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started, and you can get into the pizza business yourself for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. And that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, and their phone number is 216-341-9100. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our toll-free number is 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673, and we have Ruth calling in this evening, and if I saw the board correctly, Ruth, you're calling from Georgia tonight.
Yes.
Hi, welcome. Glad to have you with us tonight. Did we lose Ruth?
No.
Oh, there you are. Okay, I just didn't hear you there for a minute, so let me turn my volume up a little bit so I can hear you better. But go ahead. Welcome to the program.
Well, I was just calling my husband, and I've been talking about how to increase our faith and how to have God talk with us.
Right.
And I've told him that he has to open the Bible to have God talk to him.
Right.
He has to read himself from God's Word, and that's God speaking to him. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. What is it? Romans 10:27, I think, says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And certainly, that's what we need to hear in order to know how to be saved. And I've asked people before. It's kind of a trick question, but it's not really. When you think about it, I've asked people, "What do you think the foundational truth, you know, to Bible Christianity is?" And some people will say, "Well, the ultimate fundamental truth is that Jesus is God, or that God exists even, or that Jesus died and he rose again victorious over sin and death." And those are all good. But here's the question. How do you know those things?
Through the Word of God.
Exactly. And so the foundational truth is that the Bible is God's Word.
Well, and the Bible is God's word in that in telling us that Jesus died and rose again buried and rose again. Yes,
exactly.
All that goes together, the gospel.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have God's word, and He gave it to us, and so
with God's word, we can find out that God exists. We can find out that we need to be saved because the Bible tells us how Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God. And, you know, if you think about it, the big three questions, who am I, why am I here, and where am I going? That's all in the Bible. The Bible addresses that. Who am I? I'm a person that was created by God. I have a sin nature. And why am I here? Well, I'm here because God created me, and he created me for his glory. He wants to have a relationship with me. Where am I going? Well, because of my sin nature, I'm on my way to hell without Christ. But if I trust Christ as my Savior, I can be on my way to heaven and know that for sure. And so when we read that, and we come to a saving knowledge of Christ, we get saved. You know, there's a lot of Bible there left over after the gospel, isn't there?
Yes, but you know something? There's a scripture that says we have to obey that gospel. And that's something that I think is something that the world doesn't realize.
Right.
We can't simply just say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's more than just mouth and words.
We have to believe.
Right.
And we have to turn away from the sin.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then mm-hmm. we have to be baptized.
Well, and then when we get saved.
When we're baptized, they be saved, comes after it.
I'm sorry, I missed the last thing you said.
Yeah, the door, actually, the last thing in the chain of things we have to do is be baptized.
Yeah, in fact, let me go for you here.
Then we are be saved. Jesus said that. I'm just quoting Jesus' words. He that believes and is baptized should be saved.
You're quoting from Mark 16, and let's go there because you bring up a topic. And, you know, to the law and the testimony, the Bible says, and Paul commended the Bereans. He said they were nobler than those in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily. And let's read exactly what Jesus said here. He said in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's verse 15. Verse 16 said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Why would anybody want to be baptized if they didn't believe?
In obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a public testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go
but
to Luke's
also,
great.
It is also, sir, it is also to be saved.
No, I would disagree with
Jesus
that. Let's go.
Himself.
Yeah. Let me respond here.
You're disagreeing with
you,
Jesus.
You bring it. You brought up the question. Let me respond to it here. Jesus said very clearly, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's true. But the sentence did not stop there. He continued, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And the sentence that he made here makes it very clear that it's the believing that has to do with salvation, and not the baptizing. The baptizing is an act of obedience and an outward testimony. Let me go over to what Jesus said in John chapter 3 very clearly here, okay? And again, this is the words of Jesus. And since we're going to stick with the words of Jesus for the moment, rather than bring what Peter and Paul brought in on the subject.
This was after he rose from the dead.
Yeah, but this is in John chapter 3. This is before Jesus went to the cross. This is the early part of John's gospel, and Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he says several things. He says, in verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus asked, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And he explains what he means in the next verse, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And in other words, you have to have two births, the physical birth and the spiritual birth.
You simply have to be born to be saved?
If you're going to trust Christ as your Savior, yeah, you have to be born. If you're not born, how are you going to hear the gospel and trust Christ as your Savior? And Jesus was talking about the physical birth there, because the baby is born of water. The water breaks, and the woman knows the baby's coming because the water broke. And the baby's surrounded in a sack, amniotic fluid, which is basically water. And so now Jesus continues talking in this, and he says in verse number 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so again, it's the belief. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, let me read verse 18, and this is crucial. Jesus, this is Jesus' words. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So now, here's Jesus saying very clearly.
After Jesus died, his will came into effect.
Jesus,
the cross, he was under the law of Moses. Afterwards, he produced his own law.
So, in other words, you don't believe what Jesus said in John chapter 3 is true.
To whom he said it.
You don't believe what Jesus said in John chapter 3 is true.
You have to take it in context.
Exactly, that's my point. And okay, well, we're going to go after the law, and I'm glad to have a conversation, but let me respond. Let's go after the law. Acts chapter 2, and that's clearly after the law. And Peter says this. He's preaching, and he preaches Jesus having been crucified and resurrected. And when he preaches the gospel to them, in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, the Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They wanted to know what to do. They were under conviction of their sin. And then verse 38, Acts 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, if that means that you must be baptized in order to be saved, let me ask you this. You ever been into the post office and seen the FBI's most wanted list on there? And it'll have this guy on there. Here's Joe Black, wanted for murder. Here's Fred Smith, wanted for armed robbery. Those are not employment ads. Those are there because for means because they murdered, because they committed armed robbery. And what Peter is saying here is repent. They heard the message. Turn from your way. Turn from your sin. Turn to Christ. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, I believe, is for the remission of sins, not because of. Not in order to receive the remission of sins, but because you've received the remission of sins. And I can clarify that through the words of Paul, which is also after the resurrection of Christ. This is clearly during, you know, the New Testament economy. Paul responds in Acts chapter 22. He's recounting his salvation experience, and he's telling about how Ananias came to him. In Acts 22, in verse 16, Ananias said to him, after sharing the gospel with him and telling him about Jesus, Ananias says to him, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now there's something that he said. There's three things that he directs him to do. Arise. Then there's a comma. Then the second thing, and be baptized. Then there's a comma. And the third thing is wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So calling on the name of the Lord, that clause modifies wash away thy sins. Wash away thy sins does not modify and be baptized. This is simple grammar, and it's this way in the English, it's this way in the Greek. And so Paul is clearly saying here, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So how do we wash away our sins? We put our faith in Christ, and we call upon the name of the Lord. We do just exactly what Jesus said in John chapter 3. We believe. We put our faith in Christ. We trust Christ as our Savior, and our sins are forgiven. He that believeth, the Bible says that we receive eternal life, everlasting life. And the Bible says, Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already. But he also said there in verse 18, John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. So Paul is exactly corresponding to what Jesus said, that wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, what should we do? We should be baptized. That's absolutely true. It's a public testimony of our faith in Christ. It's an act of obedience because God told us to. Bible tells us to. And so we can go back to Acts chapter 2. I'll finish this spot right here. Acts chapter 2, when Peter said to be baptized for the remission of sins, when you put it in context with what Jesus said and what Paul said, it's obvious that Peter meant that you're being baptized because you received the remission of sins. So then we can go back to Mark. And here it is, be baptized, repent and be baptized. I lost my place here, but get back to that passage there where he said, here it is, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so the only thing that keeps you from being saved is the lack of believing. The baptism is something we do after we believed. It's a step of faith and a public testimony. It does not save us. They did not teach that in the Bible. They did not teach that in the first few centuries. That is a later addition, that baptism was necessary for salvation. And the Catholic Church incorporated that. That's why babies have to be christened before or when they're 8 years old, or what is it, 8 days old, they have to be christened or baptized at that time. But sorry, we can't come to an agreement on that. We'll have to let you go. I do appreciate the call. And I know there's a lot of people out there who believe that you must be baptized. There was a guy by the name of Alexander Campbell that introduced that in the, I want to say in the 1800s, I believe it was. He was a Baptist at the time, I believe, and he came to this conclusion that you must be baptized in order to be saved. He split a number of churches. A lot of Baptist churches got carried away in his false teaching and formed the Campbellite churches, Church of Christ and things like that. I think Disciples of Christ, some other ones. You know, this is a very divisive topic, but we do have to go back to the Bible. And I'm going to pick up another call here in just a minute. And, of course, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. But let me just share something, a story. I talked to a guy. I was making some visits, and I was talking to this guy, and him and his wife were out burning some brush. And I was talking to him, and he went to a church that was in our town at the time that believed, like our previous caller, that you had to be baptized in order to complete the act of salvation. He went there and he heard a gospel message, and he responded to the gospel message. And either one of the deacons or an assistant pastor led him through a prayer of salvation. And he thought, wow, this is great. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. My sins are forgiven. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've got a home in heaven waiting for me. And when they went to the pastor at the conclusion of the service, instead of congratulating him and telling him that, you know, that it was wonderful that he was now saved, the pastor said, well, you're not saved yet. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, you haven't been baptized yet. And basically the pastor told him, if you were to die right now, you'd still go to hell. And he said, well, baptize me. And the pastor said, well, I can't. He said, why not? He said, we don't have water in the baptistry. And he said, well, how long will it take you to get water in the baptistry? And he said, well, it'd probably take a week or more. You know, we have to get we have to order some water and have it brought in on a truck and fill the baptistry up. And I thought, you know, this is ridiculous. If I really sincerely believed that a person that prayed and trusted Christ as their Savior wasn't saved until I dunked them in the water. I'd have them pray and trust Christ as their Savior while standing in the baptistry, and as soon as they said amen, I'd stuff them under the water as fast as I could, lest that they have an aneurysm burst or a sudden stroke and die before I can get them wet. I mean, that makes no sense. This pastor had no concern about baptizing this guy, even though he taught what our caller was saying. Well, how much did he really believe that if he didn't keep his baptistry full of water? No, the Bible says be baptized for the remission of sins because your sins have remitted. If you believe and you're baptized, obviously you'll be saved. But the key there is the believing, because he that believeth not shall be damned. If I want to ride the bus from here down to Akron, and I get on, or to the center of Cleveland, I guess would probably be better since I'm in Cuyahoga County here. If I want to ride the bus to Cuyahoga County, I can get on the bus and be seated, and I'll go to downtown Cleveland, down to Public Square. I can get on the bus and be seated and go to Public Square, but if I don't get on the bus, I'm not going to go to Public Square. See how that works? If I get on the bus, I'm going to Public Square whether I'm seated or not. If it's standing room only on the bus, I can ride standing on the bus. It won't be as comfortable as if I was seated. Or if I stood up in the back repeatedly, the bus driver might get upset with me. But I could get to Public Square as long as I got on the bus. Being seated is an act of obedience when I get on the bus and the bus driver says everybody should be seated and you're not supposed to be standing. Well, that's an act of obedience. But the bus will get me to Public Square if I get on it and whether or not I'm seated. But if I don't get on the bus, I'm not getting to Public Square. If you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you're not getting to heaven. If you trust Christ as your Savior, you should be baptized. But you're on your way to heaven regardless. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we've got another caller calling in. Jeremiah is patiently waiting. Jeremiah, thank you for waiting while I had my a little monologue there.
Maybe I should take a bus to your church.
Well, there you go. You know, I'm not sure what buses come out our way anymore. We were in a building down the road, and for a while we had the Akron bus stop outside of our right outside of our parking lot. But we're on that edge in northern Summit County in Richfield. We're right on the edge of Summit County and Cuyahoga County. And so I'm not sure where the buses go because the Cuyahoga buses, you know, they come down to Brecksville, and the Richfield or the Akron buses, the Summit County buses come up to Richfield. I'm sorry, the Cuyahoga County buses come to Brecksville. And I'm not sure where they overlap. I would imagine there's a place they overlap there somewhere. But at any rate, welcome to the program here tonight.
Yeah, now on the way to Memorial Holiday, I went on vacation. Mm-hmm. And I went past Canton, Ohio.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Went past Canton, Ohio, Route 77.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sign says Richfield.
Right.
And there's an exit going to Richfield.
Right. There's two exits for Richfield, three exits, however it works. I forget now. You drive it all the time. You don't always realize it. But our church is located at the northernmost exit, the same exit as where you get off for the turnpike. It's just that when you get off for the turnpike, you have to watch the signs because one sign will take you over to the toll booths for the turnpike. The other sign puts you on Brecksville Road. And so we're located on Brecksville Road. In fact, the conference room that we meet in, we can look out the window and see the toll booths for the turnpike. That's how close we are. Pardon?
Heard the music going.
Yeah, I guess the music's coming up there. Got a little long on that last question, but anything you want to throw out there before we close?
Yeah, keep me in prayer for, I'd like to pray for a wife.
All right.
For quite some time, and I know my prayer has been answered.
All right, and we know there are people out there who lift up people in prayer that they hear on the program, and that's great. So, and you know, everybody should take the attitude that you're taking. Pray that God provides you with a wife. Hey, we're out of time, Jeremiah. Thank you for your call, and thank you for listening. God bless. Have a great week, everybody. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.